for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, December the 27th, 1991. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the afternoon.
Father, we thank you for the privilege coming and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we truly are standing on holy ground, for thy presence is amongst us. And I praise you and I thank you for it. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow and move over this congregation this afternoon, bring conviction and deliverance and restoration and set the captives free. We hear the word of the Lord proclaimed that Jesus is Lord and he's come to set the captives free. Father, we pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow over Dr. Bill Noe as he ministers the word of the Lord this day. Then the captives shall be set free because it is written. And I thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
This afternoon, I wanted to talk to you about Satan's kingdom and try to share with you some of the insights that the Lord has shown me over the past 10 years. The first thing I want you to do is get your Bibles and open to Matthew 12. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And this is about the unseen enemy. We're battling an enemy that has intelligence, has will, has emotion. Let's look at Matthew 12 first. Here in Matthew 12, we see in Matthew 12:43, we see a familiar passage. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. You notice that he has a will there. He says, I will return. And so we see the demons have wills. If you read the companion verse in Luke 12:24, we won't read it, but it says the same thing. And then turn to James 2:19. And here James is talking about faith. But he makes an interesting statement. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. The demons know that there's one God. They know who's in charge of the universe, and they tremble at it, which means they have emotions. They get scared, and they tremble. Isn't that nice to know that demons get scared? And they tremble. And they should tremble at your voice, because Scripture says, when I speak, it's the same as you speaking for me. And demons have to hear you when you speak, because you speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus spoke to them, they trembled. Let's look at Mark 5. Mark 5, 7. And here, we have the case of a demon possessed person, and the demon cries out. He cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Let's turn over now and read the account in Matthew 8. And you'll notice there's a slight difference here. Matthew 8:28. And when he'd come to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, they said about me in high school, I could torture one poor word 10,000 ways. There met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Suddenly they cried out, saying, What do we have to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? They said, yes, there's a time that we're going to be tormented, but it's not time yet. They had intelligence. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that there was a time appointed that they would come into torment. But it says it's not time yet. And so we see that demons have emotions, intelligence, and will. And we see that they can invade and live in human bodies. Brother Tomley covered several of these yesterday. Let's look at one or two of them. I've got six of them written down here, but I don't think we'll read all of them. Let's look at Mark 5. Look at Mark 9. We've already read Mark 5. Let's look at Mark 9. 9:17. And then one from the multitude answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. And I spoke to your disciples, but they could not cast him out." You could also read Matthew 8:28, Mark 1:3, Luke 5:26, Matthew 8:24. These all give you examples of demons residing in human bodies. Now, the term possess that's used in the King James translation implies total ownership. And a reborn Christian cannot be possessed by a demon because he belongs to Jesus Christ. A reborn Christian belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:18. Possessed means total ownership. I'm going to get to that. 1 Peter 1:18. It says, "Knowing that you will not redeem with corruptible things like gold and silver from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And you would redeem with the blood of Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 6 says, "You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify your God with your body, whose you are." And so, a reborn Christian is owned by Jesus Christ. He owns your body. You don't have a right to mistreat your body. It's not yours. It belongs to Christ. He bought and paid for it with His blood. Now, if you yield, now God gave you a free will. You can serve who you please. He gave you a free will. In Joshua 25:15, he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Well, let's look at that. I can quote it, but it's better if you look at it. Joshua 24:15. Here Joshua's talking to the children of Israel. Joshua's an old man. He's about to die. And he's gathered them all together. And he says, "Now if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." Romans 6:13. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present them to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall have not dominion over you." What he says there is, God made you a free moral agent, and He allows you to choose whom you will serve. If you choose to serve the enemy in sin, you will open yourself to demonic oppression in that area. And demons will come into your body, not into your spirit, for the Holy Spirit has come in. For He said He sent the Spirit of His Son crying, "Abba," into your heart. He won't come in there, but He will come into your flesh, and He will torment your body, and He will destroy it. And He will put you in bondage, and He will make you do things that you don't want to do. Jesus Christ died and hear your old man, the body of sin in you, was crucified with him that it might be rendered inoperative in your life. You don't have to sin. When Jesus died on the cross, the body of sin, the sin principle in your life, died with him. Therefore, you don't have to sin anymore. That's been likened unto prohibition, or likened unto going out and destroying all the liquor in all the saloons. But it wouldn't stop people from drinking, because they got these whiskey factories that keep making it and shipping it. It would only be a week before the shelves would all be restocked. Jesus forgave your sin. He died. Your sin was washed free. You were washed with the blood, which says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled should cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I mean, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But Jesus, your old man, was crucified so that the sin principle in your life, sin, the thing that makes you sin, was crucified with Christ. That the body of sin might be made inoperable or rendered powerless in your life. But you can still choose to sin. And if you do choose to sin, then you will come under demonic oppression in that area of your life. And they will rule you. I didn't intend to get into that today. But let's look at a familiar passage that we've looked at a lot. Let's look in Ephesians 6:10. Let's look at this kingdom of Satan. You know, Satan is a created being. He is one evil angel. One evil angel. He can be in one place at one time. He is not like the Holy Spirit. He cannot be everywhere at once. God is all-present, all-powerful, and all-knowing. Now, there are fancy Greek words for that that I would slaughter if I tried to pronounce them. Satan is none of those things. He is a single created being. He's intelligent, he has power, and he has representatives that represent him. Praise you, Lord God. His kingdom, and now I want to discuss with you how his kingdom is arranged so that he knows what's going on. Let's look at Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10 starts with, says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, the good news for modern man says we do not wrestle against persons with bodies. Angels, in case you're interested, don't have blood. They have flesh and bones. They have a body. Demons do not. Demons would like to inhabit your body. The one thing they want more than anything is a body to possess. And they're willing to even possess the body of a pig rather than to have no body at all, because they get no rest if they're out of a body. We read that in Matthew. Says he walks in dry places seeking rest and finds none. So he says, I want to return to my house. And also, they're able to express themselves. There are lots of different theories on where demons came from. The Bible gives us hints, perhaps, but it does not tell us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the hidden things are for God alone, but the revealed things are for us and for our children forever. God does not see fit to tell us where they came from. And so we say, yes, Lord, they're him. We don't know where they came from. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Let's read it all the way through, and then we'll come back. Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's look at the word principality. Now, that is an old English term. It means a ruler and the area of his authority. About the only principality that I know of left that I know of that's left in this earth today is the principality of Monte Carlo. And Prince Reno rules there with his wife, Princess Grace. And he has an area that he is ruler of. And that's where the term principality comes from. It is a ruler and the area of his authority. Well, in the Greek, that word is archons, archas. And if you look that up in the Standard Lectionary, it implies an order of things. It implies rulers standing in order. And this is best described by having a general, colonels. You've got one general, five colonels, 10 majors, 20 majors, 50 lieutenants, maybe 100 lieutenants, 300 or 400 sergeants, and several thousand, maybe 30,000 enlisted men. And this army is arranged in squads, platoons, battalions and divisions, and so forth. But it is an ascending order. And at the top, the very top, you have a principality. Okay. The next is powers. Now, that comes from the Greek word exousia. Boy, I'm slaughtering these today. Which means authority. Now, these are people, these are beings with authority. Now, what does it mean when you say authority? Well, if I run a red light downtown, and a man with a badge stops me and pulls me over, and he says that I've broken the law and will give me a ticket, maybe he's smaller than I am, I say, you're not going to do it. And I can push him around. But I don't do that because I know that he's going to get on that phone, and in a few minutes there are going to be three or four more, and if they can't handle me, the whole Hot Springs Police Department is going to be out there. And if they can't do it, they're going to call the sheriff, and the sheriff, if he can't do it, he'll call the National Guard. That's authority. That man represents the power of the state. That's what authority is. Now, you all have authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. I give it to you in my name. Well, that man is speaking in the name of the sheriff or the police chief who gets his authority from the city manager, who gets his authority from the mayor. And you're speaking with the authority of Jesus Christ, who's the head of all things. Well, these demons up there, they've got authority. What kind of authority they have? They have the authority that you have granted them. That you have granted them in your life. Either by the sins you've committed, either willfully or accidentally, or by the curses that have come forth in your life, or by the sins of your ancestors. But they have authority to be there. They couldn't come on you willy-nilly. You know, if the devil could put a demon on you willy-nilly, first thing he would do when you got saved, he'd kill you. He'd give you a stroke or a heart attack right off and you'd just die. But he can't do that. You have to grant him the authority in your life. Or it comes from your ancestors, from your sin. Rulers of the darkness of this world. That comes from the Greek Kosmotos, which means Lord of the world. I have a number of scriptures here which talk about darkness and light. But let's look at just one. Let's look at Acts 28:16. No, that's not right. 26:18. That's right. 26:18. This is Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. And this was the charge that Jesus gave Paul. I am Jesus, starting in verse 16. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of things which you have seen and of things which I will reveal for you. I will deliver you from the Hebrew people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I have sent you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance along with those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so Paul came. Paul was sent that by Jesus that the Gentiles might be returned from, might be turned from darkness to light, brought out of the darkness and into the light. You were all in darkness before you were saved, but you came out to live out of the darkness into the kingdom of His glorious kingdom of light of His Son. And the fifth verse says, well, let me go back. I hope y'all kept your fingers. I didn't. Go back to Ephesians. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Some of you may have the Old King James where it says high places. But this is the same Greek word in Ephesians, it's translated every place else as heavenly. It's just that the King James translators could not, they just could not believe that the evil angels would be, that the powers of evilness would be in the heavens. Well, let's look at that. Let's look, turn to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So He created more than one heaven. It says heavens. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:2. Here Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So if you read Genesis, it says that God created the firmament, and then that, and the heavens, and the heaven, there are three heavens. The first heaven is the visible expanse that you see. The second heaven is that above that. And the third heaven is paradise, where God's throne is, in the third heaven. But there's a second heaven. You know, if there's a there's a third heaven, there must be, by logic, there must be a second heaven. And the second heaven is someplace between. And you say, well, why do you know it's between? Well, let's look at Daniel 10. We talked about this last night. Daniel had been fasting for 21 days to know when the time of the exile would end. He had been reading in the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said 70 years. He added it up. It's been 70 years. He said, the time is now. So he began to fast. And he fasted for 21 days. And on the 21st day, when verse 10 said, then suddenly a hand touched me and made me tremble on my knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you. Stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And while he was speaking, the word came to me, I stood trembling. He said, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I came because of your words. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And then he goes on to tell him that he will make him understand the vision.
Praise your name, Lord.
Daniel, Gabriel, which means he told Mary, I stand before God, had been sent forth with a message. But an evil angel, the prince of Persia, and a group of evil angels, the kings of Persia, had withstood him in a spiritual battle for 3 weeks. But Michael, another of the chief or archangels, had to come forth and help him to get him through. And after, he left to go back to the battle because the king of Greece was coming. Now, these are evil angels. These are the principalities that we've been talking about. There was a prince over Persia, and then he had divided up Persia into a whole bunch of little places, and he had kings over each one of these. They reported to him. He reported to Satan. And under them they had more princes, more demons. So you see a generalized hierarchy. It starts at the bottom, the lowest range. They are individual demons. Each one of you has a strong man assigned to you. Jesus says when you bind the strong man, you might spoil his house. Each person has a strong man, maybe more than one, but there's always one in charge. And he has demons under him. He in turn reports to familiar spirits. Each family line has familiar spirits assigned to it. Why do you think things like cancer run in families? You ever thought about that? Why do you think alcoholism runs in families? My father was an alcoholic. He had three brothers that were alcoholics. My mother has a brother that was an alcoholic. I wouldn't touch booze because I know that there's a window of opportunity there. And the chances of me becoming an alcoholic if I drink, 50%. That snake will bite me. It may be several years in manifesting. The enemy loves to torment you. He may take his time. He's been around a long time. His job is to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. You know, Satan, when he fell, he was the anointed sheriff, and he wished to ascend and put his throne, and he wanted God's place. He wanted to displace God. Well, he wasn't able to do that. He did not have the authority. He still hates God, but he can't touch God. He can't touch him. I'll tell you what he can touch. He can touch his image. Derek Prince tells a story of this young lady who was engaged to a young man who went off to war. And the young man found someone else and wrote the lady a letter. A Dear John letter. Told her he was sorry, but he'd found another lady. And she went home and she took his picture and she threw it on the floor and she stomped on it. She couldn't touch him, but she could touch his image. You are made in the image and likeness of God. As a matter of fact, the word in Hebrew said that says image is the same word used in Hebrew today for photograph. Have your picture taken. And Satan can sure touch, he will touch God's image. That's you. And every time a drunken, somebody drunk walks down the street, staggers down the street, and vomits and passes out, Satan's right up there accusing him before God and saying, "See what you think of your image now." And so he wants, well, he's given his demons their marching orders. And the marching orders are to destroy you. Not only did he destroy the children of God, he destroyed his own people. I mean, some of the witches I've known have been sick, they've had cancer, they've had all kinds of problems, been in mental hospitals. I mean, he just torments those poor people. Terrible. They're his. And he's cruel taskmaster. He is evil, unrelenting, and inspicably cruel. I hate him. Now I'm going to pull his kingdom down. I fight him every day. I hate him. I fear God. Fear God is to hate evil, and he is evil. Thank you, Lord. Oh, where were we before I got off on that? Praise you. So, you have familiar spirits that are assigned to your family. My familiar spirit, my four greats back, grandfather, was an Indian shaman. He was a Choctaw witch doctor. He sold me to the devil before I was born. How did I know? A man of God picked me out of the crowd. He said, "How many of y'all got hay fever?" I held up my hand. Stood up and he said, "You've got Indian blood in you." Well, I knew that I had some Indian blood in me, but my mother would never talk about it. My father felt was racially prejudiced against Indians. I never understood why he married my mother. But he was racially prejudiced against Indians, so he absolutely forbid it to be spoken in the house. It wasn't until she died that I and this revelation came. But he picked me out and he said, "You're a Choctaw Indian. Your ancestor was an Indian shaman and he sold you to the devil before you were born. You want to be free?" I said, "Oh Jesus, yes, I want to be free." He said, "Hold up your hands and praise God." And I did. And I looked up into this blinding white light. I don't know what happened. But the nurses at the hospital said that was the day Dr. Noel's personality changed. It set me free. It set me free from the tarot cards. It set me free from division. It set me free from from all the demonic skills that I thought were, quote, gifts from God. Great numbers of people have demonic skills, and they're called gifts from God. I see people who are, there was a man in the newspaper in my hometown, he's a water witch, and he says it's a gift from God. He goes out to help people find water. But it's a demonic skill. It's not from the Lord Jesus Christ. But witchcraft was a familiar spirit in my family. In my father's family, I got a double dose. My grandmother, great-grandmother, on my father's side, my father's grandmother, was an astrologer, a tea leaf reader. Praise your Lord. Other people get other types. You have cancer-running families. You have violent tempers running families. You have high blood pressure. All types of infirmity spirits running families. You have people who have fierce tempers. You have people who are stubborn. You have people who are misers. You have people who have... You just stop and think. Any type of familial trait that runs in your family is a familiar spirit. It's passed down from child to child. I'll always remember the little girl, the little gypsy girl that I prayed for. When she was 10 years old, they carried her into her grandmother's bedside. Grandmother was dying. And they asked her, they said, she said, "I want to pass on to you the family spirit." Said, "You're the seventh daughter born of the veil, and we want to pass this on to you. For you would receive it." And they all encouraged her to receive this thing. And she said she agreed to it. And grandmother laid hands on her, and something cold settled down over her. She said it was the strangest sensation. And that spirit of divination came upon her. And she became the fortune teller. The spirit of divination has been passed on in this family. It was a familiar spirit. And when somebody dies, these spirits look for another family member. And they look for a way to get in. They look for sin in your life or legal grounds. The good news is, Jesus gave you authority over them. Jesus gave you authority over them. You don't have to let them rule your life. Familiar spirits, I'm trying not to teach anything that I can't support with text out of the Bible. I think it's very dangerous to teach from personal experience. I could sit here and talk all day about my personal experiences. But familiar spirits will tell on you. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10, I think it is. Yes, 10:20. "Do not curse the king even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich in your bedroom. For the bird of the air will carry your voice, and the bird in flight may tell the matter." Now that translation of bird there does not mean a little chirping bird. It means a flying thing. It is the same word that's used in Ezekiel 13, where he is talking about witches. Let's look at Ezekiel 13:20. And here, the Ezekiel is prophesying against sorcerers, witches. He said, reading verse 19, "You profane me among my people for hands full of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, keeping people alive who should not live, by lying to my people who listen to your lies. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic tongs by which you hunt souls like birds That bird is a flying thing. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds or like demons. Those are familiar spirits. Now, someone who is good in divination will send the familiar spirit to listen to your conversation and transmit it back to him. Or go ask your familiar spirit. If he's got the authority, he'll go ask your familiar spirit what you said, and then they will transmit it back. Therefore, the enemy always knows what you said. But you know the enemy can't read your mind. Demons can't read your mind. They don't know what you're thinking. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2 on that one. Demons know you sin because they're watching you all the time. You got a whole bunch of them always watching you, registering your sin, reporting up to the devil so he can accuse you before God. It says in Scripture that he stands there and accuses you. How does he know them? Because the demons are watching you. And they report it, they send it up through the network. But here in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. The king gave a command to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. King said, I've had a dream. My spirit's anxious to know the dream. Chaldean spoke to the king, said, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream, and we will interpret it. King answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me and its interpretation, I'll cut you to pieces and put your houses on an ash heap. However, if you tell me the dream and its interpretation, you will receive gifts and honor and a great reward, great honor. And they answered, let the king tell his servants a dream, and we will give him the interpretation. And look down to verse 10. Chaldeans answered the king, said, there is no man on earth who can tell the king the matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler ever asked such a thing from any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requires, and there is no one who can tell the king except the gods whose dwelling is not in the flesh. Now, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, witchcraft reached its height under the Babylonian Empire. Scripture said they bought and sold whole nations by their sorceries. These were the most skilled, and yet they could not read his mind. Now, God told Daniel, so the enemy cannot read your mind. If the king had discussed that with anyone, then the familiar spirits would have told the magician, and they could have told him the dream. But the king did not discuss it with anyone. It did not come out of his mouth. Does that tell you something? Don't tell the devil what you're planning to do. Don't talk about your plans to yourself. But you're just talking to the demons. Praise your name. Now, if you have spiritual friends that you're going to read, and you have a problem and you want to meet and pray about it, you can bind the spirits up, you can command them to be deaf in the name of Jesus, and you can discuss it. You have that authority. Praise your Lord. Now, magic is the desire to control. Supernatural is the desire to control people or natural events through supernatural forces, or desire knowledge that you have no right to, that God has not revealed to you, or that you have no natural right to it. That's done by divination. Witches do this. Have any of you ever been to a magic show where the mind reader gets up and has the blindfold on, and you take out a 50-cent piece out and you hold it up, and this man picks it up and he says, what I have in my hand? And you got a standing liberty 50-cent piece minted in 1923. Well, that's right, man. What it is a familiar, this man has a familiar spirit, and he is transmitting it supernaturally. A pickpocket will stand outside the bank A good diviner will stand outside the bank and wait. He's got a pickpocket over here. He's got a drop man here. And the diviner stands him. And he will wait until the man who's got money in his pocket walks out the bank. How does he know? Familiar spirits tell him. And he will mark that one. The dip will go by, pick the wallet, and drop it off to the accomplice. But how does he know which one to do it? It is demonic, done by familiar spirits. A professional witch, if she wants to cast a spell, witches are very careful about casting their spells. Because if they cast a spell and there's no legal right for that demon to light on you, you come back on them. Scripture, it says, a curse causeless cannot light. Well, let's look at that. That's in Proverbs 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not light. And so they will... There's a word for it, and it slips me. But they will send their familiar spirits out, and they will gauge you and look for the sin in your life. And then they will send the curse forth. Professional witches are very careful. What do you do if someone throws curses at you? You say, oh, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. You tell a witch that and she'll run so fast you will absolutely terrify her. Because the scripture says, bless, do not curse. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Return no one evil for evil, but repay evil with good. And when you do that, all the curses go back. Have trouble with witches? Pray for them. Just pray for them. Ask God to bless them. He knows how to bless them. Now, God knows how to bless those people. He knows everything. Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah he was going to take care of them, that I'm going after. In Jeremiah 35, after they had renewed the covenant to let all the Hebrew slaves go. Said they were going to renew the covenant and all the Hebrew slaves go that they haven't done. And about 3 days later, they decided they wanted their slaves back. So they went out and pulled them all back. And God said, I'll give you freedom too. Freedom to the sword. Freedom to pestilence. Freedom to starvation. That's what God gave them freedom for. I mean, God knows how to bless. That's in Jeremiah 35, if y'all want to read it. Praise you, Lord. And so, today, we're going to talk about the most common thing that happens to you. I do want to read one other scripture. And that is in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 5. We're speaking of the nature of God now. Then God descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And when he proclaims his name, he's proclaiming his nature. Then the Lord passed before him, that's Moses, and he proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. Now, the New International and the New American Standard says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And so, you all have curses on you, if they haven't been broken, that have come down through your family line. Brother Glenn spoke about these yesterday. And these are the things that let infirmity spirits into you. They let witchcraft into you. Rebellion. They let fear. They let bondages. They open the door for all kind of bondages to come in. They let such things as whoredom, homosexuality, people who say that they were born. Said, I've just been a girl trapped in a boy's body all my life. I've always wanted to be a girl. Homosexuality can come in through the curse of whoredom. through no offense to the person. Can come in by seduction, being seduced as a teenager. Can come in being raped, but can come in through the curse of whoring. Young girls who are, we used to call them nymphomaniacs when I was in high school. Now we just call them free spirits. A little loose, but free spirits. These girls have a curse of whoredom in their lives. And they go from a whole series of men, never finding satisfaction. And this is a curse. It's a demon called whoredom. It has a name. Now, you must understand what a whore is. The word whore is defined in Webster's dictionary as one who has promiscuous sex. A prostitute is one who engages in sexual intercourse for pay. Now, a lot of people will call a whore someone who takes pay. But a whore is one who just is promiscuous. A harlot or a prostitute is one who engages in sexual intercourse for pay. You can check me on this. This is all in the dictionary. But these things can come into your lives, the lives of your children, the lives of your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Sometimes they'll skip a generation or two. And so what we're going to do is we're going to stand before God and we're going to repent for the sins of our ancestors. We're going to forgive our ancestors. We're not going to repent of sin. We're going to forgive our ancestors for sinning to bring this upon us. And we're going to ask God to break familiar curses. And we're going to come against them and against the spirits that God that comes in. Spirits of rejection come in this way. Spirits of fear. Spirits of greed and lust and pride and ego and vanity. Almost all of your spirits can come in through curses brought on by the sins of your fathers. Praise your name. How many of y'all have ever been in the mass deliverance service before? Now, we're speaking of spirits. Spirit in the Hebrew word means air or breath. And most of the time, spirits come out as breath. Out of your breathing passages. They come out sometimes as a yawn, sometimes as a cough, sometimes with a scream, and sometimes with nothing. They just come out. What I want you to do is put both feet on the floor, and I'm going to lead you first in a general repentance. It's a rather long repentance, but to break curses. And then we're going to break the curses and we're going to command these things to leave. If you set your will against these things, don't pray in spirit, don't pray in the tongue. If you pray in spirit or pray in tongue, they won't come out. Just come against it in your mind and use your will. It's a contest of the will. It's a wrestling match. And command it to leave. Some people manifest, some people don't. I remember so well this young lady that I prayed for right there. And she was addicted to Valium, and she'd been on Valium for 20 years. And I prayed for her, and she had absolutely no manifestation at all. But I got the release in my spirit for her. And she was very disappointed that she didn't throw up or yawn or cough or fall on the floor and writhe or something like she'd seen other people do. But she... Her husband called me a week later and he said, it's an absolute miracle. He said, she's perfectly free. She has not taken another Valium. He said, for someone to come off a Valium who's been on it for 20 years, he said, she stopped cold turkey. I said, oh, she did. My guts are tightened up. I didn't tell her to stop cold turkey. But God delivered her. God had witnessed to her. She felt she should stop, so she stopped. God honored her faith. And she's still free today. She never had any manifestation. You don't have to have manifestations. You appropriate it in faith and move forward in the name of Jesus. Won't you repeat after me, dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, I do make the following confession.
I do make the following confession.
I sinned against you.
I sinned against you.
Disobeyed your word.
Disobeyed your word.
Whether it be through willfulness,
whether it be through willfulness,
ignorance,
ignorance,
curiosity,
curiosity,
I do now repent. Of these sins, and ask your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will,
in the name of Jesus,
I close all those doors
which I have opened to Satan.
And I now ask you, dear Lord,
to help me renounce
all these things,
and cleanse me
in body, soul, and spirit in the name of Jesus.
I renounce the occult.
I renounce witchcraft.
I renounce divination
in the name of Jesus Christ.
I renounce all demonic skills,
all mind control,
positive
power of positive thinking,
positive control salesmanship,
and demonic power to impose my will on others.
I break all curses,
hexes,
spells,
jinxes,
jixes,
and charms
placed on me
from any occult source.
I break the curse of illegitimacy
10 generations back
on my family line.
I break the curse of incest
10 generations back.
I break the curse of idolatry
and whoredom
in the name of Jesus.
I renounce
any initiation right
to any club,
brotherhood,
lodge,
fraternity,
sorority,
or order
which is of demonic or witchcraft origin.
I break all demonic subligation,
demonic soul ties,
or bondages
to my mother and father,
grandparents,
spouses,
ex-spouses,
or any human being,
living or dead,
who's ever dominated me
or controlled
me
in any way
contrary to the will of God.
I break all curses of psychic heredity
and demonic holds
on my family line
as a result of disobedience
of any of my ancestors,
spouses,
or ex-spouses.
I break any curses
of physical or mental illness
off my family line
in the name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus, I believe
that you died on the cross for my sins
and rose from the dead.
You redeemed
me
by your blood,
and I belong to you.
I want to live for you.
I confess all my sins,
known and unknown.
I'm sorry for them all.
I renounce them all.
I come to you as my deliverer,
Lord Jesus Christ,
claiming the promise
in Joel
2:32.
Whosoever
shall call upon
the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
You know my special needs. The thing that binds and torments and defiles me. The unclean spirit. I call upon you, Lord Jesus, to deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord God. Now all you spirits in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus, turn God's people loose. All you rejection spirits, you turn God's people loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. You can't hold God's people in bondage. All you spirits of rejection and fear. Fear in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft fear. Bondage to fear in the name of Jesus. All you spirits, we break all the curses now. We break all the whoredom curses. You can't stay there anymore, fear. In the name of Jesus, fear, I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to leave God's people. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Leave them in the name of Jesus. All you pride, ego, and vanity. Pride, spirit of pride in the name of Jesus. Leave them now. Pride, spiritual pride, self-righteousness, spiritual pride in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All you idolatry spirits, all you stubbornness, spirits of stubbornness, stubborn self-will, stubborn spirits. Come on out. Stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose now. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. All you stubborn spirits, all you stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus. All you rebellious spirits, spirit of rebellion, the Lord rebuke you. Rebuke you, rebellious spirits. It says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. All you witchcraft and rebellious spirits, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirits who would lead these people astray from God's will. In the name of Jesus, rebellion. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, all you witchcraft. All you witchcraft. Witchcraft, I speak to you. All you spirits of witchcraft, of Jezebel, of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft spirits. All you sorcery spirits. All you spirits of sorcery in the name of Jesus. All you drug spirits. All you spirits of drug. Bondage to sorcery. All you bondage spirits. Spirits of bondage, it would put them in jail in the name of Jesus Christ. They would bind them to alcohol and drugs in the name of Jesus. They would bind them to fear, bondage in the name of Jesus. I bind you, spirit of bondage. I bind you, you bitter spirits, spirits of bitterness, spirits of bitter spirits in the name of Jesus. All you bitter spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to leave God's people. Leave them in the name of Jesus. All you bitter spirits in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of bitterness and bondage in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All you bitter spirits in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Turn God's people loose. Come on out. Out in the name of Jesus. All you bitter spirits, spirits of bitterness, spirits of anger and rage and hostility. All you spirits of anger and rage and revenge and hostility and murder. All you violent spirits, the spirits of violence and rage and anger and murder in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All you spirits of infirmity, you destroying spirits. I speak to you spirits of alcoholism now in the name of Jesus. I speak to spirits of alcoholism. I speak to spirits of whoredom in the name of Jesus. I speak to homosexual spirits in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Homosexual spirits, turn them loose now. All you seducing spirits. Spirit of seduction in the name of Jesus. They would seduce God's people away from the way in the name of Jesus. I bind you, all you seducing spirits in the name of Jesus. All you seducing spirits, turn them loose now. Spirit of seduction in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. Praise your Lord God. Spirit of greed. Spirit of greed in the name of Jesus. Greed. Praise your Lord God. Greed and avarice and covetousness in the name of Jesus. Jealousy, greed and anger, greed and jealousy and covetousness in the name of Jesus. causes people to covet someone else's gift, covet someone else's house, covet someone else's job. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All you jealousy spirits, spirit of jealousy in the name of Jesus, spirit of bitterness, spirit of jealousy, spirit of competition, spirit of immolation in the name of Jesus. All you competing spirits, competing that would cause trouble in a household, would cause trouble among husband and wife in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All you spirits, I need some water. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. All you spirits of bitterness, jealousy, anger, and rage in the name of Jesus. I come against your sexual spirits. I come against the spirits of fornication and adultery in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I say, leave God's people now. I break all the soul ties to the past in the name of Jesus. I break all these soul ties. We cut God's people loose. Sexual fantasy, I speak to you. Turn God's people loose now. All you sexual fantasy spirits, all you fantasy spirits, all you lying spirits, all you fantasy spirits of pride, fantasy spirits of great fortune, fantasy spirits of power, fantasy spirits of money. In the name of Jesus, all you fantasy spirits, in the name of Jesus, all you lying spirits, all you religious spirits, all you religious spirits, you spirits of religion, in the name of Jesus, all you Pharisee spirits, better than thou spirits, better than thou spirits, in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. All of you, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All you spirits of praise your name, Lord God. All you spirits of bulimia, praise your name. I bind the spirit of bulimia, anorexia, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of anorexia and bulimia. I bind bondage to bulimia, bondage to anorexia, bondage to pride, bondage to good looks, bondage to worrying how you look, bondage in the name of Jesus. I bind the bondage now. I come against the roots. I come against all roots and effigy in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all roots and effigy in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all curses in the name of Jesus. I come against all free-floating curses in the name of Jesus. The curse of lust in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I come against all sorcery in the name of Jesus. I come against all sorcery. Turn them loose now. All you sorcery spirits, in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of Mariology. I break the curse of Mariology. I come against the medallions in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of Mariology in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the saints in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of prayers to the saints in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the Masonic Lodge in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the Masonic Lodge. All you Masonic spirits, all you idolatry spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All you Antichrist spirits in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of unteachableness, of unteachable spirits. All you spirits unteachable, you unteachable spirits in the name of Jesus. All you stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. All you unteachable spirits. All you spirits of unteachableness in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your name. I come against all spirits of fear and hostility, of fear and paranoia in the name of Jesus. I come against all the spirits of fear in the name of Jesus. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Spirit of fear of high places, fear of closed places, in the name of Jesus. Fear of the dark, all you fear spirits, in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn all God's people loose now, all you fear spirits, in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Fear in the name of Jesus. Fear of trusting God. Fear of losing your job. Fear of going broke. Fear of not being able to provide for your family. All you fear spirits in the name of Jesus. Fear the depression. Fear what's coming. Fear the economy collapsing in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All you fear spirits, turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All you antichrist spirits. All you antichrist spirits, turn them loose now. Rob them from reading the Word of God in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft control spirits. All you witchcraft control spirits in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft spirits, turn them loose now. All you spirits of confusion. Spirits of confusion. Spirits of mental illness. Spirits of confusion. Spirits of frustration. Spirits of anemia. Spirits of amnesia. You amnesia spirits, it would cause God's people to forget His Word. All you spirits of unbelief. Spirits of unbelief. It would steal God's healing in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of unbelief, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. For all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, all of you now, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Praise you. Oh, God. We come against the spirit of Hindu spirits now, Lord God. Come against all the Hindu spirits. Spirits of Kundalini in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I come against the Hindu spirits that would wrap in their backbone, Lord God, and cause them to be sick, Lord God, cause them to feel bad. That would wrap around their brain and cause them to be confused and to forget God's Word and forget where the car keys are in the name of Jesus. I come against all these spirits, the spirits that have come in doing, oh, praise you, Lord God, relaxing exercise, to come in doing any type of yoga. Come in doing Lamar. Come in doing any type of yoga in the name of Jesus. Transcendental meditation, any type of meditation in the name of Jesus. I come against meditation now. The spirits that have come in during meditation, I bind them now in the name of Jesus. You meditation spirits, I command you to come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of the dots in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all the Hindu spirits in the name of Jesus. All the Antichrist spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave God's people. I break the curse in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Praise your name, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your name. Brother Glenn, you want anything else? Everybody hold up their hands now and praise God. And stand up and just praise Him now. I say to you that the prophet Elisha, told the king. He gave him the arrows and he said, strike the ground. The king only struck the ground 3 times. And he said, you should have struck the ground 8 or 9 times, then you would have thoroughly destroyed the enemy. So strike the ground many times to thoroughly destroy the enemy. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. The anointing breaks the yoke, Lord God. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Touch your people now, Lord God. Touch them and fill them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch them and fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Fill them full, Lord God. Fill them, Lord. Fill up all those places, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.